Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where we've got the best Pelicans trade deadline analysis, talking all different sorts of players, especially the ones being linked to the Pelicans. You know the usual names, Jahlil Okafor, and a new name with a little more detail on it, I guess, than what had come up before, and that's a name I'm going to talk about in probably the second half of the podcast. Break down why this player I think will be a good fit. I'll leave him a mystery right now. At least make you listen to the second half and get that far. It's all in the open, right? Now you're intrigued. It's like a good TV show. Also, you know, coming to you on this Tuesday here, Pelicans grab a 110-108 victory on the road in Phoenix. They're now 2-1 on this four-game road trip leading up to the All-Star break. Win over Minnesota, a loss Sunday night to the Kings, even though they could have won that one too, and then beaten the Suns for their third win over that team this season. 2-1 on the road trip. Finish it up with a game tomorrow against Memphis before going into the All-Star break, which will be in New Orleans at least. Should be a lot of fun. I'll talk some more All-Star stuff as we get closer to the weekend. But today I'm going to recap this game for you, talk about whatever the mystery player was. That was good, right? I should do voiceovers. Talk about the mystery player who I think is probably the deal that was thrown out there. I'd probably taken a heartbeat for the Pelicans. So we'll talk about that before wrapping it all up for you on today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So this Phoenix win against Phoenix, I shouldn't call it a Phoenix win in Phoenix, 110-108. Pels were without Dante Cunningham for personal reasons, third Pelican without out for personal reasons over the past two games, three games, I forget exactly what it was. But anyway, Cunningham out, had the birth of a child, looked healthy. They showed a picture of it during the broadcast. I can't, that's why I say it, because I can't remember if it was a guy or a girl, boy or a girl, and I don't want to get it wrong. Looked healthy. Congratulations for him. I personally have no problem with NBA players, especially taking time off, missing a game for the birth of a kid. Totally think that's cool. No problem with that. And clearly it was okay for the Pels as they got the win tonight. No Dante, or not Dante Cunningham, Terrence Jones, other big for the Pels, out with that thumb injury. He's missed a few games here. But this one was pretty close. Pels had a lead for a little while, and then Phoenix managed to go on a run to close the second half, putting the Pelicans, you know, not in the worst situation, really. Only down, I think it was four, something like that. I don't have the box score up in front of me right now. I'm going to go off memory for most of this, or just pull it up later. But Pels managed to come back in the third and fourth, played particularly well there. To eke out the win. It was stressful towards the end there. Back and forth game with Phoenix taking a lead, and then Anthony, you know, so Phoenix took a lead. It was Eric Bledsoe who did the majority of their work for them. He had 37 points on the night. Outplayed Devin Booker, their other guard, who's incredibly good, who had 21 points. 37 for Bledsoe. He went on a personal, I think it was 8-0 run, 9-0 run, late in the fourth. What they were doing was they would force a switch where it was going to be Eric Bledsoe, and they would get Anthony Davis guarding him. And while Davis is quick and athletic, he does struggle with quicker guards and quicker perimeter players who can either blow by him and get to the rim or get enough contact. Davis, it gets a little off kilter and can draw the foul. That's what you really saw in that kind of run to make it a close game. He got to the line a lot, Bledsoe. He's 12 of 14. Like I said, 37 points total. Five assists. Good game overall for him. Another guy, which is what kind of made this game a bit stressful for the Pelicans, yeah, was the Suns grabbing offensive rebounds. Pelicans only had, in this game, a 71.1% defensive rebound rate. You guys have heard me say it really needs to be above 80 for the Pels to normally have a chance or to have a comfortable victory. This one certainly wasn't comfortable. A lot of that was PJ Tucker forward for the Suns. This is a guy who averages about like under 7 total rebounds per game, I think. He grabbed 7 offensive rebounds, 9 defensive boards for 6 total. And on the final possession of the game, Phoenix grabbed 2 or 3 offensive rebounds and just none of the shots fell. Making it stressful at the end for the Pels. Prior to that, though, it was Anthony Davis just kind of not quite willing this team to victory. He went in, grabbed an offensive rebound, put it back up, got the shot, thought he was fouled, wasn't ended up calling. But if he doesn't grab that offensive rebound, Phoenix wins this game. So he needed to do that. He managed to do that. You saw him come up big in this game late. His jumper was falling. It was 8 of 16, 50%, got to the line 8 times, made them all. Grabbed 10 rebounds. He, was struggling on the board with how well Phoenix was rebounding just overall. On the night, Phoenix grabbed, it was 85.7% of all defensive boards available. They grabbed basically 29% of all offensive rebound opportunities they had. Very, very high. So the Pels struggled on the boards all night. Davis only had 10. He did have 24 points. This game, basically the Pels managed to, punish Phoenix's mistakes. There were, the Suns had 19 turnovers. Pels turned that into 23 points. They scored 19 points on the fast break. I've said you kind of want to see them get close to above 20, really, ideally with it. But, it was good overall there. Some more things during the game, you saw some nice individual performances. Solomon Hill was solid on the defensive side, basically taking Devin Booker, whoever pretty much was on the perimeter of the threat. He was getting switched all over there, guarding different people. Did a nice job defensively, led the team, or second best defensive rating. Each one Moore had a few nice standout plays by himself. Late in the fourth, he grabbed a steal and then immediately sprinted with two guys coming after him on a fast break by himself. A one-on-two fast break. Pauses, lets one of the trailing defenders jump to try and block the shot. They miss because he didn't go up with the ball. And then he puts it up for an easy layup. It was just a smart, patient play. Basketball IQ that you don't always see from this Pelicans team. In terms of other bigs, Donatas Moniunis got some playing time tonight with Terrence Jones out. Alexi Ajinsa got the start. We don't really need to talk much there. But Moniunis got in there. One of the things I've noticed he does pretty well is when he grabs a defensive board, he fires off an outlet pass to try and get this team running in transition. It's something you see guys like Kevin Love do. A few other bigs are particularly good at it. Jokic over in Denver is good at it. You want to see those guys do that. They get the ball and they get it out to a guard who's sprinting in transition. It's not an amazing pass. It's not going to show up in the stats as an assist, but it's a pass that leads to fast break points, that leads to easy offense in transition, and exactly what you want to see. Pels themselves had 16 turnovers, but they kind of limited the damage that Phoenix caused. It wasn't all live ball turnovers. Jokic, by the way, who I just mentioned, triple-double on the night. For Denver, who's chasing that 8th seed. I'm pulling it up right now because his numbers, just to give you an idea, if I'm sure you've seen it and heard the score for him. But my goodness, you can see why they traded Nurkic, got him out of there. And Denver killed Golden State, 132 to 110. By the way, Jokic, though, my God, you want to talk about a big who would pair so perfectly with Anthony Davis to make the offense absolutely terrifying. He's one. You're not going to get him, though. He had 17 points, 12 assists, 21 rebounds. 12 assists for a center. Pretty awesome. Anyway, going back to the Suns game, Pels limited the damage the Suns could do, or, you know, could do off of their turnovers. The turnovers have been kind of high the past couple of games. Luckily tonight, it didn't burn him. It could have at times. Drew Holiday's had a lot recently. He had 5 in this game, main culprit right there. Other than that, you know, it's usual suspect in someone like Tyreke Evans putting in a few, Anthony Davis putting in a handful. But overall, it was okay. No overall damage was done. Pels managed to get the win, go to, like I said, 110-108, get 22 wins on the season so far as they're chasing Denver for that 8th and final playoff seed in the West. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, is available on Audio Boom. Do me a favor. You know, you guys know this podcast comes free to you all. And, you know, the reason that we're able to do that and bring it to you 5 days a week is rating it and, you know, advertisers. So please, if you haven't done so already, follow it on social media. Locked On Pelicans on Facebook. It's at Locked On Pels. On Twitter. If you're on iTunes, Audio Boom, rate it 5 stars, like it. It takes a simple click, and it pays off long-term for the podcast. It's only a good thing. So go out and do that as, let's call it a personal favor for me. You know, I talk a lot. My voice gets kind of sore and scratchy here. That's all. It'll make up for it. No problem. Also, if you're interested in advertising on Locked On Pelicans, we've got great demographics. Rates are very, very reasonable, I should say. We can kind of tie it in, however, whatever you need to do. So email me, it's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com, jake@bourbonstshots.com. Hit me up on Twitter, it's @NolaJake, whatever's easiest for you, and I can get you all the information you need. And now to the fun stuff, and yeah, I think at this point in the season with the Pelicans unlikely, or at least a long shot at best, to make the playoffs, trade rumors are the way more fun thing right now than the actual games. So a rumor came out, what is it, 2 weeks ago now, last week maybe, around the same time as the Okafor rumors, about Brook Lopez coming to New Orleans, where, you know, basically what happened today was, you know, they're really trying to get Okafor here. They're really trying to bring in a center. He looks like the obvious target. And they made an offer to Philly, and it's take it or leave it at this point. And Philly's trying to kind of wait and see what their best option is going to be. The Bulls also have interest in Okafor. But the Pels also reached out to the Nets about Brook Lopez, and some of the details supposedly came out about that today. And Lopez makes a lot of money. He's about $18 million a year. 1 year left after this one. And the deal would be something along the lines of Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, Tim Frazier, and a 2018 protected first-round pick for Brook Lopez. And let me tell you, I would pull the trigger on that deal instantly. If they said, yeah, if they're like, sure, I would call the league office so quick to make this happen. And let me go into a few reasons why. Let's first, before talking about Lopez, talk about the assets you're giving up. Tyreke Evans giving him up. Basically, it's all those three guys are just to make the salary work. You know, Evans is unlikely to be re-signed by this team. He's not fetching anything. I know people really want him to, but he's not fetching much by himself. Maybe a second-round pick to a team that has cap space, or you can use him kind of as a makeshift in a deal. But it's basically salary to make a deal work. He's not valuable. Otherwise, he'd be traded by now and someone would be calling for him. Langston Galloway, while a nice little piece, and it's nice that he's from Baton Rouge, has been so hit or miss for the Pels this year. Yeah, he has games where he is a flamethrower. But there's the games where he's given you 3 points, 6 points. That's it. Not a lot. It's really, basically, you don't know what you're going to get out of him, and it's tough to have a guy on your roster like that who's so boom or bust. You might need him to play big minutes. Pels used him in the fourth quarter against the Suns last night, going with a four-guard lineup with Etuan Moore, Tyreke Evans, Drew Holiday, and Langston Galloway. You really don't want him in that lineup. You'd rather have someone else, but there really wasn't anyone else. You weren't going to put three point guards out there. Now, you know, if he's in this deal, you at least have Brook Lopez, and you feel a little bit better about, say, maybe Drew and Buddy, something like that. People who are just more reliable on a game-to-game basis. So don't worry too much about giving him up. I mean, it is, people really like him, but again, I'd rather play each one more at this point. Tim Frazier is the other one going that way. Again, he's not playing right now. it's no big deal. You know, this trade leaves you really, really thin at point guard, trading away basically both backups in Frazier and Evans to Holiday. But again, you now have roster spots. You could trade a second round pick, and the Pels have two for a backup point guard at this point and kind of retool your roster on the fly here. And then it's the 2018 protected first round pick for Brook Lopez. Basically, it's protected. So if the Pels are bad next season, they're still keeping the pick. First round pick at that point, if you make the playoffs, isn't worth as much. It's starting to get into the late teens, 20s, and you don't care. Those guys don't develop most of the time. Yeah, it's nice to think. But go back to this past draft, and a lot of those guys people really liked for the Pels to take, maybe trade back up into the first round and take one of them. What was it, Denzel Valentin? You guys haven't played, and they're not very good, and maybe they work out in the long run, but that's 3-4 years down the line. Here you get Brook Lopez back, who's a great fit for the Pelicans, who's going to help them next season and this season. At this point, it's more important. You know, if you're playing for 5 years down the line, 3 years down the line, 4 years down the line, Davis' contract's going to be up. You've proven nothing to him at this point, or at that point. That's not what you want. Lopez, though, brings a legit center to this team, which is clearly the route they want to go. And I've talked about small ball. I've talked about why I prefer that. But hey, they're not going to go and do that, so I'm going to give up on this dream. But he's 7'1", huge wingspan. And he has range. That's something Okafor doesn't. He can shoot from three. You saw him do it against the Pelicans in both games they played. And that's not something Okafor has. Okafor doesn't really shoot outside of the paint. So he can space the court for Anthony Davis. That is a legit important thing. He passes well. So if the ball hits his hands, you know, it can get out of there. And then what you most likely would do with really only one creator on the roster at that point in Drew Holiday is you probably run the offense through your bigs, through Anthony Davis, through Brook Lopez, getting the ball early to them in the shot clock, letting the defense either kind of, you know, it's their court gravity suck in to them, collapse on them, and kick it out to open shooters. And at least make their lives a little bit easier. The Pels don't really have a threat that can do that right now. At least Anthony Davis can at times, but Brook is probably a bit of a better passer, so he opens up your offense in that way. Pelicans have to rely on a lot of jump shots because they don't have guys that can create otherwise. You saw it again last night, Buddy Hield struggling to finish at the rim. Etuan Moore's got a nice little floater, but again, at the rim is not a place he's living. You have Drew Holiday who can get there, but he starts to fall in love with that mid-range shot, the deep shot from three at times too. So you need to get guys who could score in other ways. Brook Lopez is one of them. At least, you know, if teams are sucking in on him, collapsing on him and Anthony Davis, it can create for others better looks than having, you know, guys draped over Pelican shooters because they know they're not really threats to drive and blow by them off of the dribble. Defensively, Brook Lopez is actually a very solid rim protector. You know, you're not going to have a top five offense with Lopez and Davis as a pairing. Neither do particularly well in space guarding out on the perimeter. But at least, you know, your rim should be safe. The paint should be pretty well protected. You probably have maybe top 10, top 15 for sure. With that, you know, you might have to abandon a bit of the constant switching that they do. But it's still worth a shot. At this point, the offense is so bad, you have to do something. There's going to be some give and take here. So a lot of people are worried about the contract for Lopez expiring after next year. Don't worry about that right now because basically there's no other way this team's going to get a player of his caliber and a player that's going to improve them immediately. As he is. And over on bourbonstreetshots.com right now, Michael Pelletier has got a very good article about Brook Lopez. Basically, when you sort him by points per 100 possessions, goes DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, and then third is Brook Lopez. There you go. That's pretty good. He's tied with Karl Anthony Towns in points per 100 possessions. So you would have a core of Drew, Davis, Buddy, Lopez, those four, at least going into next year, you'd have Holiday locked up. You'd be able to re-sign or not re-sign Lopez. If you're bad, you still keep that pick. If not, if you give it up, at least you made the playoffs and you only traded that. You'd have whatever rookie you draft in 2017 as well. And, you know, a lot of people always say boom or bust, championship or bust when it comes to sports. There was a bit of a discussion on this on Twitter today. As if just rooting for a winning team isn't a fun experience in and of itself. Think back to the Lakers series in Monty Williams' first year, Chris Paul's last year here. David West last year too. That was a fun team to watch, to go to games and to get a couple of home games. Three, they took that series to six. Think about the Warriors series 2 years ago and the end of that season, the game against the Spurs on the final day, the win over the Thunder mattering so much. Win over Golden State in the regular season towards the end that year too. So much fun. Blowing the 20-point lead in Game 3. Not ideal, but man, that game was fun before that happened. So, sometimes you just need to get back to respectability and maybe try and make the second round of the playoffs with that being your ceiling. That's still okay for right now. And then try and make the next leap while you still have Davis under contract and retool on the fly there. But at least you're at that point. Pels aren't there right now. They need to make a move, and Brook Lopez, they're not going to get a better player than that right now. He's better than Okafor, and I'd roll the dice on Okafor not develop anywhere near like him. And I would do that deal in a second of Evans. I'm blanking on every name in this deal. Of Evans, Galloway, Frazier, and a protected 2018 pick. Especially at that point, the protection on the 2018 pick would likely be much, much better than it would be for Okafor, just because of Lopez's age and his contract. You might get that full lottery protected. Nets need to rebuild. Moving Lopez is their best asset. If they can get those three guys, you know, and not that the players really matter to them, it's really the pick. But if they could get any first-round pick, I think they'd be pretty excited, given that all of their first-round picks in like the near future are basically owed elsewhere because of terrible, terrible trades made in the past. So that deal, it's like the end of Inglourious Basterds, where Hans Landa makes the deal and Johnny Depp's character is like, I'd make that deal. That's a good deal. He looks at his buddy. He's like, did you make that deal? And he's like, yeah, I'd make that deal. Well, when it comes to Brook Lopez, I definitely make that deal. So that's going to be it for today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. We'll talk about more trade rumors, some All-Star game stuff, preview the Memphis game for you guys tomorrow, talk a little bit more All-Stars. We hit the end of the week. I'm going to do a bit wandering around in the next day or so to try and get a look at some of what's going on. I tell you some things you might need to know about it should you be traveling to New Orleans. And maybe just throw a bit of a primer out there. Might not be the worst idea. So we'll cover that over the next couple of days. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.